Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. This is Brian here with Paul and Jimmy, and today we're going to be covering the Disney Plus original series, What If? This is going to be episode 8, entitled What If Ultron Won? And I thought this was definitely one of the stronger installments of the series. We have a very short list of characters and a pretty simple story here, but I think for me, the animation really hit here. And overall, I'm excited to see how this story resolves in part two. You know, we get that breaking of the third wall or the fourth wall, whatever wall it is, where, you know, we have a character interaction with Uatu, and that had only happened once before in the Evil Doctor Strange episode, and we have a callback to Evil Strange as well. So there was a lot going on in this episode with kind of a very small roster of characters, but I think the entire episode really did it for me. I think it was a very strong episode.
Yeah, so the whole premise of What If is like just a twist in the story, right? Like, so this whole show is about like unknown like twists, as you're expecting that. So the fact that they were able to throw in a twist within the show, within the episode, when all of a sudden Ultron looks around and he hears it and he sees him, and then he actually attacks the Watcher. That was insane.
Yeah, I thought this was a really strong episode. It does exactly what the What If premise should do. The animation, it being a cartoon and not live action, like the scope, this is it right here, showing us all these multiversal, almost like a war, but it's the Watcher versus Ultron jumping through different multiverses. The visuals were amazing. We only had like four main characters here, but they were strong. Good voice acting, good character development for all the characters on there. I enjoyed it, and I'm ready for part two. Like we said, that we thought that there was going to be, you know, a big throwdown with Ultron to finish the season, and we were wondering if the Watcher was going to intervene. We figured he would, because it was kind of like teasing us the entire season, and we didn't know if it was going to lead into season two or if he was going to have the finale and intervene. Well, we already got it now, and it looks like he's going to be recruiting some multiversal Avengers there to take on Ultron.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Do you think he's going to do a recruitment of his crew, like montage real quick, and they're going to go up and have their own like weird Avengers against Ultron in the end?
Yeah,
the
next episode? Honestly, we saw the end of episode 7 with Party Thor, which is a freaking awesome episode. The ending is the main thing to the storyline. We talked about how the entire episode was not really anything substantial, but it was just really fun to watch. But the end was very important, because you see the Watcher and he's giving his little narration, and then all of a sudden Ultron shows up and he's like, holy shit. So it looks like it's almost going a little bit all over the place here, with 8 being chronologically first, then 7, then 9, because if we're thinking about it in that way, we would think that he, meaning the Watcher, meets with Doctor Strange, and Doctor Strange is going to tell him next episode, you know, let's set up a squad here. I'm guessing the Watcher showing up at Party Thor's multiverse in episode 7 is him doing the narration and then being there to recruit him. And then that's why Ultron shows up and he's like, holy shit, because otherwise it doesn't make sense, I don't think, with chronological order here.
I'm trying to think, in the montage of this episode when they showed Ultron just going around destroying, at first it was all like the big cities and countries, and then it was like planets. I'm trying to remember. Asgard's
on there. He destroys it. But I mean, that's only for that universe, though.
Yeah, true. So that's the thing.
Because the point of what they're doing in that montage is showing that he's destroying all of the worlds in that universe. And then he decides that he's done and he completed his mission. He doesn't know what to do. And that's where he's like,
okay,
wait. I can hear someone talking. And then he sees the Watcher and realizes there's a multiverse. So Party Thor, his multiverse should still be intact.
Gotcha. I totally agree with you, but I was just initially thought that they were saying that Party Thor's universe was like Evil Ultron's universe as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't make sense because Thor probably died in the...
They show him or whatever. Pretty much game over laying there.
Okay, yeah, I got you.
Scenes. That's a little bit of the confusing part to me because in the original of the beginning of the episode, we see Hawkeye and Natty and they're on the plane. Natasha.
Natty Ice.
Yeah, Natty. And they're on the plane and then the nukes go off and everyone dies pretty much. But then in this multiverse, this universe, they're the only two left again. You know, I mean, it's just weird that it's the two and then the two. But it is supposed to obviously be two different sets of Natty and Clint.
So it's technically episode 8, then 7, then 9 is what we're assuming chronologically.
Well, yeah. I think that checks out because if his appearance in the Thor episode, he already had the Infinity Stone suit. True. Then that means that would have had to happen after the events of this episode. And assumedly, we're going to see some completely new and later on material in the next episode. So, Jimmy, right. I think you hit the nail right on the head with that chronological order.
Speaking of the Infinity Stones, while we're talking about Thanos showing up.
Speak it, baby.
What the hell do you guys think about Viz? Well, not Viz. It was Ultron just like destroying Thanos in 1 second with 5 Infinity Stones versus his one.
Yeah, it was a little bit weird. It was very ironic that they cut him exactly in half because that's obviously what he wanted to do with the universe, split it 50-50.
Everything balanced as all things should be. Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. So that was pretty funny to me. I did see all over like Twitter and online saying, oh, there was another way to get rid of Thanos, apparently. In our universe, Vision's kind of injured a lot during the fight with Thanos, but some of that kind of stuff does kind of freak me out a little bit. And I know they're doing it for like shock value because like, hey, it's a different universe and we can do whatever the hell we want and just show you guys this and that. And we talked about it for a few different things in this show in the prior episodes. But yeah, I think it was mostly shock value. Here's Thanos, cut him in half, take the stones and we're on to the next part of the plot. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think it should be that easy, but
that, Paul, is what we like to call a writing inconsistency. They just gave us something here that they should not have done.
Yep.
Yeah. Just to move the plot. It. Yeah. Move the plot extremely along.
I am more likely to give them a pass on stuff like this in this series, What If, because it's like a little bit ambiguous how much of it is exactly canon. And like Jimmy said, they did it for the shock value. I'm sure they were well aware that people were going to be like, well, why didn't Vision just do that?
Yeah.
I'm going to give them a little bit more leash on nitpicking stuff like this. Only in this series, What If, you know?
I mean, it could have been so easy to like just show a quick montage of them fighting and then him somehow winning, even though, again, we would probably argue any fight and they probably know that. So they're probably just like, let's just get it done quick.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, yo, I want to see this throwdown. But I guess they figured the fight between, you know, the Watcher and Ultron was more worth the screen time.
Yeah, instead. But let's talk about the elephant in the room here. And I don't know if you guys think the same thing, but I can't take the Watcher seriously, man. He's a big bald baby, and I can't deal with it.
Yeah, just the abnormally huge head. Like when he landed in like New York, like during the fight, his head was proportionally enormous compared to everybody.
He doesn't look intimidating at all. And he's literally supposed to be one of the strongest people in the multiverse. And we kind of see it, and maybe we'll get into it in a little bit, but when they actually fight, but it's just, I can't take him seriously, man. I really can't. Even when he took his robe off and had the cool suit, still, he's still a big old bald baby.
He had the sweetest line though, where he was like, you cannot compute my will.
Was cool. And again, if we want to start nitpicking, I was a little upset that they gave this guy comedy at the end of the episode. I'm like, dude, you don't intervene and you're being forced to intervene because Ultron is coming for you, trying to kill you. You're literally hiding in Doctor Strange's little bubble that you put him in pretty much, or he put himself in and you let him stay there. And you're making jokes like, nah.
Did I miss that? What's the joke that he...
He said, Dr. Strange says, like, say it. And he's like, oh, you're going to make me say it? And he's like, you're right, bro. You know, it's like, nah, I don't need any of that shit.
You're wasting precious seconds.
Exactly.
So that was definitely something I wanted to talk about. I think the Watcher completely fumbled the bag when he knew that Ultron had eradicated all life in the entire universe. He knew that he was just standing there in infinite silence.
Yeah.
And he started speaking like that's got to be some hubris on the part of Uatu. He fumbled the bag by making himself present enough to be noticed by Ultron, right, if you will. I think this episode in a few ways shed light on the fact that the Watcher himself is a flawed being. You know, he is not all powerful, omnipotent, all knowing.
Right.
And then they also made it a point for him to admit that he was surprised. He said, "I've seen everything that ever could or will happen, and I've never seen this. How can this be?" Like, he can't compute how this is something that is escaping his knowledge.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was a really, really cool scene when Ultron standing there and it's the Watcher behind him talking. And then all of a sudden you see his eyes like turn to the corner and then he's like, "What is that?" It was freaking awesome. Like, I loved it.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the scenes that's going to stick with me. I just love kind of just watching his eye flicker because it's all zoomed in on his face. And that takes me back to there were several scenes in this episode where the animation team just went off. I think they were trying to give us in this, it really worked with the animation style.
Another perfect thing with this What If is Ultron, I think, with the Infinity Stone is like a freaking awesome villain. You can't really get any better for something like animation style. You know, evil villain, like he just is the man, and you're not really going to have a chance to see that in live action. I mean, I guess they could have went that way if they really wanted, but you know, instead of Thanos, but still, it's just a cool other what if scenario where they actually create this awesome villain out of it.
Speaking of villains, what do you guys think about the return of one of our least favorite Germans? Vel.
Arnim Zola makes his return, man, and that's a little crazy. We've seen him twice, and you have to think, like, I was thinking about this and I was talking to Brian about it and probably you last episode, Paul, too. Do you have to wonder if when we see people in What If as the voice actors, does that mean we may see them more later in the MCU? We haven't seen Toby Jones in a long time, the actor who is Arnim Zola. And by the way, our boy Dobby, the house elf from Harry Potter.
He played Dobby?
Yeah, that he did.
Oh, wow. Amazing. What a resume this guy's working on. Zola is one of those characters that's kind of always relevant just because he's so smart. And since he downloaded himself to the AI system, you know, that can help in a multitude of ways. When is the last time we saw him? Was that Winter Soldier?
Unless you count Captain Carter. Yeah. Winter Soldier was the big one with him. And, you know, because he could be downloaded anytime, anywhere, he could be in a freaking flash drive. Like, there could be any time in phase 4, 5, 6, whatever they want to bring him back. And his main thing is him pretty much being in a robot, android, whatever you want to say. So that would be a cool villain to have. Captain America 4 with Anthony Mackie. Could it be another one of the random Disney Plus shows? Who knows? But one of our Reddit users that we talked to, he brought that up, and I definitely wanted to talk to you guys about it, and I'm glad that you brought it up first. So, yeah, I mean, we may see him again. It might be just seeing how the fans react to Arnim Zola being back. You have to remember that he's kind of tough because not everyone knows him, and he's not like this very easy to recognize. Well, he's easy to recognize because of what he looks like and how he, you know, talks and everything. He's very recognizable, but he's not mainstream. So, you know, they may be testing the waters to see if he's worth bringing back as either a main villain, side villain, or just a character. I mean, they use him a lot in the comics.
Yeah, that's a weird question because, like, when you say that, I think back to the voice actress for the journalist that asked Tony the question, like Iron Man 1, and they used the same actress for that.
Yeah.
So it's like, do you think really she's going to come back in, you know, some MCU like future or something like that? So it's hard to say because they really did go and get almost everybody they could, like OG actor to voice actor. I would hope we see more of him because I think Zola's just a really cool character.
Yeah.
I mean, he's as old as Steve Rogers, like a little bit older, but he actually was comprehending and learning while Steve Rogers was frozen.
Yeah.
She was like one of the oldest sentient things, I guess.
I thought it was really cool how they decided to use him to fight quote unquote Ultron. And we'll probably see him again next episode, obviously.
So before this episode, were we aware in the MCU that this supercomputer that he was stored on was both at Camp Lehigh and in Siberia? And it remind me of what happened in the Captain America. Did they destroy his Camp Lehigh computer?
Yeah, they did. And the Siberia computer, which, you know, obviously we're in a different universe here when it comes to this episode, but the Siberia computer was literally that scene and location was in Winter Soldier.
That's sweet. I love when they carry over stuff like that.
Yeah.
Did you guys see real quick when Ultron and the Watcher were fighting? They go into one universe and real quick, you can see in the background that Steve Rogers was like swearing in to be president.
Yep. Yep. There is a little bit of a comic thing for that, too. But yeah, apparently I read that someone wanted to, one of the writers pitched a thing where they actually do a what if episode with Steve becoming the president and it being like a kind of like a political episode, and they shot it down.
And they're like, no, that would be interesting. But
yeah.
So apparently I heard he pitched it to the Marvel execs as paying like homage to West Wing, which is a very popular show. I watched like the first season of it. It was very good. A young Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a fantastic episode, actually, if they gave it the green light. But he got his little wink to that storyline.
Yes. And while we're at it, let's do our voice actors. We don't have many, but we have Jeffrey Wright's back as the Watcher, Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye, Toby Jones, we already talked about him. He's Arnim Zola. Benedict Cumberbatch at the end is Doctor Strange. And then the big one is Ross Marquand. He is Red Skull in Endgame and What If. And now he's Ultron as the voice actor. So he was Red Skull in What If, and now he's voicing Ultron. I thought he did great.
I thought he was sweet.
Yeah, I think it was a good one. It's a hard voice to replicate. So I think he kind of went off the path and made it his own. And once I accepted that it wasn't, I forget that actor's name off the top of my head, but he plays James Robert Spader. California.
Yeah.
James Spader, yes. I'm kind of glad he did his own thing instead, because I think it was equally as ominous and dark and a perfect Ultron voice.
And you can't match, you know, his Ultron in Age of Ultron, mm-hmm. Avengers 2, because he was amazing. He was perfect. Everything about his voice acting, it was incredible. So I'm glad he just kind of went. I mean, this is a different universe too. So like, he went their own way. And especially when you become evil, I'm sure, you know, you take over a different attitude and stuff like that. But yeah, he did a good job.
And you also are now coming through the Vision body too with your voice. And to be honest, for a second, I don't know if it was because I was just seeing Vision, but in my head, I was, I thought it was almost like a blend of Vision and Ultron's voice together. For like the first like minute he starts talking, I was like, did Disney or Marvel actually just like take these voices and mix them kind of like, which would have been freaking sweet, but.
That would have been insane.
A couple other Easter eggs. You were talking about in the one multiverse, we have Steve Rogers as president. We also have one showing all the Skrulls. They love to bang those Skrulls against our head because they are going to be a big thing coming up in phase 4. They just want to show us all the Skrulls that they can, just so it's right there and we're recognizing them. Obviously, the nice homage to Galactus.
Yeah,
that was cool.
It was Ultron doing what he was doing, but with his outfit, it was looking like Galactus. And
him just chomping that universe like a gumball was insane.
Yep. So that was cool. Everyone that blew up on Twitter, Galactus. Natty had Red Guardian shield when she grabs it from the warehouse. I mean, this episode had a lot of callbacks to the movies. The main one, obviously, is Age of Ultron. But then we have Endgame, Infinity War, Winter Soldier. And there is some Black Widow in there. And you guys haven't seen Black Widow yet, right?
Still have not. No, I'm sleeping on it. Maybe I'll watch that tonight. No problem.
It was good. I enjoyed it. Did you watch it, Paul?
Not all of it all the way through. I got like the main premise and parts though from Emily, but yeah, I did recognize that, you know, it was his shield.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing is Red Guardian's shield. And then Yelena Belova is her quote unquote sister. And she always makes fun of Natty for doing the pose. She calls her a poser and they specifically give her like a second like pause when she does her pose.
Yep.
In the episode. So there's a nice little callback. But what else you guys have to talk about? Is there anything else before we...
I loved how they gave the reverse to Endgame, where instead this time Clint went down instead of Nat. And it was showing that, you know, he would do the same thing. Obviously, he got that from Endgame because they went back and forth a million times. But it was cool to see him sacrifice himself, flip-flopped.
I will say I was a little bit annoyed, and this is going back to the zombie episode too. I'm happy that Clint called Natty out for the jokes, man. We talked about how they're in this dire situation in the zombie episode. Spider-Man's okay to make his jokes, but everyone else is making jokes when they shouldn't be happening. They weren't landing for me with Natasha in this episode, really. I just thought it was a little eh. But I did like that she was doing it, and then Clint called her out.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense when he said, like, my will to live is, like, almost at zero.
I mean,
like,
it's true, man. They're the only two left. Yeah. His whole family's dead.
Yeah, and he's only doing this for, like, the sake of the other universe, which he obviously has never met. It doesn't have any stake in. So I totally agree. I mean, I thought Nat was trying to lighten the mood, but I agree. Not the time.
Yeah, I can see. I think that she... That is her way of just keeping the two of them moving. Like, if she falls to despair and it's just two people moping around the whole time, nothing's going to get done. She knows that Clinton is fading. After the nuclear codes, like, they made a point for him to say, I think his wife's name is Rachel. He was just like, oh, no, Rachel.
Yeah.
She didn't lose, like, any family. I mean, she has people close to her. She would be the one to, like, try and keep them going. So I didn't have as many quarrels of that in this episode. But yeah, I did like that Clint told her to knock it off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If he didn't tell her to knock it off, I would have been pissed. Like, pissed. This, I was just like, it didn't really land for me. It's whatever, but I like that he said it.
At the same time, if she did get, like, was mopey, maybe they wouldn't have gotten it through, and she was the reason they found the box when he came.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Exactly.
I mean,
Yeah.
It's one thing to be optimistic. It's another thing to be like, hey, how's this shield look on my back, huh? Like, I don't need that.
I got you.
I got two quick ones. So the first one is the whole Nat and Clint against the androids in a post-apocalyptic wasteland. That was giving me Trunks and Gohan in Android Saga vibes.
Love it.
Anybody?
Love it.
No? No?
Yeah, no, I got it.
Yeah.
The second one is, can we reasonably say that the TVA was stronger or is stronger than Uatu or the Watchers in general? Because we have already seen that the TVA makes slight work of all five Infinity Stones. They're like, yeah, people, we see these all the time. They're paperweights, these Infinity Stones. Uatu had his hands full fighting this Ultron plus five Infinity Stones. And you can say they're enhanced more than they were with Thanos because it has the android kind of aspect to it. I don't know. I feel like I can't get a good reading on the power scales here, but as they laid it out in this episode, I think the assumption is TVA is stronger than the Watcher.
It's confusing. I was thinking that too, and I was trying to, like, logically think it through, but at the same time, we almost need Loki season two to figure out what exactly happens, like, the TVA. Like, where is it? Is it only a space that in there no other magic uses?
Because, yeah, that's like, where I'm at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're able to drag somebody in the TVA outside of the TVA.
Yeah, I take it like the TVA as an entity is where everything doesn't work and the stones are paperweights. But I think that I'm taking it a little bit different because I know the comics, and I took it like the Watcher was holding back because he's still technically not intervening. You saw in the beginning, he starts kicking his ass, and then he's kind of, it's like one of those kind of fights where you're just kind of fighting to make sure you don't die, but you're not going to destroy him because it's not your place to do it. I mean, he pretty much says he's not going to intervene. He's trying the entire time not to, and then Ultron keeps following him and attacking him. So I'm taking it more as like he was defending himself. I was happy to see in the very beginning when he does that cool ass line and starts beating the shit out of him, I was like, all right, let's go, because that's how it should be. And then Ultron started powering up and doing his thing, and I didn't know if that was him kind of like just defending himself and not killing him because he's not supposed to, or what they want us to think.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he's finally like, all right, it's time to intervene. Let me go talk to Doctor Strange, you know? So I don't know.
But if that's true, then it seems as though he's only intervening to the extent that he can put other people in a place to take out Ultron. He's not intervening to take out Ultron himself.
Right, right.
Okay. I mean, because
like it was like the whole thing was that he wouldn't intervene when they're trying to find the file. He's literally like, that was kind of annoying to me a little bit, where he's just in the background be like, no, dude, it's right there. And that's fine. He doesn't intervene. But then Ultron's like, I found you, and then attacks him. So he was never going to do anything to Ultron. He was fighting with it. He was like, oh, shit. But he wasn't actually going to do anything until he was attacked. And that's why I took it that way.
Okay. I'll buy that. And is it confirmed that next episode, the season finale, will be a continuation of this, or is it just?
Yeah. So we will have a continuation, and through the trailers, people are kind of trying to figure out what our multiversal team might be. Obviously, we know Doctor Strange is going to be a part of it. Party Thor, if they're going by the actual continuations of this, is going to be freaking hilarious, and I love it. Natasha's still alive with our James, or not our James Spader, Arnim Zola. Ultron bot, talk about T'Challa, Star-Lord coming back for one more bash, and then Captain Carter, of course, you know, bring her back. Not sure if there's going to be anybody else, but that's a pretty good team to me. We didn't talk about the fact that Captain Marvel came in really quick, but Ultron took care of her. But again, they wanted to show, because you didn't get to listen yet, Brian, to our podcast from last week, but they did Thor versus Captain Marvel, and they really want to show how strong she is. You know, they really do.
Yeah.
And that was showing how strong she is, pretty much brought him to the core of the earth. You know, so I think it's going to be a banger of a final episode. I thought this was a great episode to lead into the finale of What If, showed exactly what If can do. I thought as a whole, the season's been pretty good, man. I enjoyed it.
Retweet, man. Retweet. If we don't have anything else we need to cover here, I think we're all just looking forward to this season finale. It's been a good season so far. I think we're receiving it very positively here at Bingetown TV. So guys, keep an eye out for our continued coverage of What If. We got one episode left. We're going to definitely be covering the shit out of that one. As always, if you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram. Visit us on BingetownTV.com and subscribe to our show on Spotify, the Apple Podcast app, or wherever else you may find your podcast. Once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thanks for listening.
You cannot compute my will.
Nice,
dude.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.